Well, good morning to you. If you have your Bible, Philippians chapter number 3, the book of Philippians in chapter number 3. And we're moving through our study of Philippians and our morning exhortations. And today we're going to be covering verses 4 through 11. Philippians 3, verses 4 through 11. Verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to the zeal of persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. As you survey all of the religions in the world, you could put all religions in the world into one of two categories. Every religion in the world fits into one of these two categories, all of them. It's either a religion of works-based human achievement or of grace-based divine accomplishment. There's only two. Boil them down simply, it's either a religion of works or it's a religion of faith. Either you make yourself right with God or God comes down and makes you right with Him Himself. It's either up to you to earn your salvation, or God has purchased your salvation and has given it as a gift. There's only two. Every religion in the world, apart from Christianity, true Christianity, is a religion of human achievement, of works-based. Your practice affects your position, you might say. Every single one of them. Where you place your trust this morning, where the object of your faith is, will tell you a lot about where you're going in eternity. In fact, it'll tell you everything. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ has achieved a righteousness under the law that is perfect. And on the cross, He pays for every single sin of everyone who would ever believe. And so that when a person puts their faith, apart from their works, in Christ, they receive His righteousness by that faith. It's either that, or you're going to have to achieve that righteousness yourself. Good luck. But that's where every religion in the world would put you. And here you see those two religions ironed out. And so if you think that you don't need Christ, if you think that you can achieve the righteousness that you need, if you're not a Christian, then you need to line yourself up by the Apostle Paul. Notice what he says here in verse 4. And I want you to notice the apex of human achievement. The apex of human achievement. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Wow, what a statement. If you think you're going to get to heaven by what you do, I've got you beat by a long shot. That's what Paul's saying. Whatever could be said about the Gentile Philippians by the false teachers in this day could not be said of the Apostle Paul. False teachers had certain qualifications that needed to be met to be saved, just like every other false religion. The Apostle Paul not only met them, but exceeded them in every way in his view. And if anyone could get to heaven by what they did, it would have to be this man, the Apostle Paul, the most fastidiously religious man on the planet. His Jewish credentials were impeccable. They surpassed even those of the Jewish false teachers. The most fastidiously religious man in the entire world. In Galatians 1:14, he says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the tradition of my fathers. I was advancing beyond people that were my contemporaries. I was the most religious person in the world, and I was advancing even more. Take the best of us today, this morning. Put all of your achievements together, add them up, all of us, and Paul has more. That's what he's saying in verse 14. This is the apex of human achievement. Let's notice in verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day. This is prescribed in the law. It was important to Jewish false teachers. They said you had to be circumcised. They added a work to the gospel. The very sign that was supposed to show you how sinful you are and your need of cleansing at the deepest level, the Jews wore it as a badge of self-righteousness. Paul says, I had that. Check. Next, of the people of Israel. He was the right ethnicity. He was by birth a member of God's covenant people. Romans 3:2 says the advantage of the Jew is much in every way. He was of the right ethnicity. He was given the adoption in Romans 9. Glory of the covenants, the law, the temple, the services, the promises. And then from them came the Messiah, the Christ Himself. He was of the right ethnicity. He was of the people of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Another check mark in the box. One of the most noblest tribes there were. Israel had 12 tribes. He was of the best tribe. He was of the right people. He was of the best tribe in the right people. The only son of Jacob was Benjamin that was born into the promised land. It was him, Benjamin. One of the most noblest tribes. Next, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was strictly maintained a traditional Jewish heritage. I mean, he dotted every I and crossed every T. He committed to all the orthodox customs and religious practices. Paul studied under one of the most famous and skilled rabbis on the planet, Gamaliel. Next, he was, as to the law, a Pharisee. He's lining up his achievements is what he's doing. He's showing you that if anybody can get to heaven by what they do, it's me. He was a Pharisee. This is, he has risen to the top of the most orthodox traditionalists of the day. The most fastidious people in the religion. They were the best of the best. The strictest sect of the true religion. The separate ones, they were called. The Pharisees. They were the best of the best with the greatest religious influence. And Paul was one of them. Verse 6, as a zeal, a persecutor of the church. You want to talk about my passion? Many people have a knowledge, but they have no internal passion. Many people know a lot of things, but no intense desire or zeal. One of the things about the Jehovah's Witnesses is their passion to carry that false gospel to your doorstep. They are more passionate about falsehood than a lot of people are about the truth. They had a zeal unmatched. Paul said, I had a zeal. I was a persecutor of the church. The most supreme religious virtue you considered was zeal. Paul's passion burned so hot that he persecuted the church and he tried to destroy it. He thought he loved God and therefore hated with intense desire whatever opposed him, Jesus' church. That's what he thought. In the name of God, he undertook the task of bringing the enemies of God to justice. He was a religious terrorist. He was like Osama bin Laden on steroids. This man was passionate about his religion. As for righteousness under the law, he continues, he was blameless. He was untouchable. You couldn't find a trace of any violation in his external performance. As far as human achievement went under the law, he was blameless. No charge could be laid against this man. But listen, none of these things, individually, nor all of them collectively, is enough to enter into heaven. Did you get that? None of these things individually, or all of them put together, is enough to get you into heaven. How are you doing? Do you match up with him? He's a sinful man, and he is pursuing and taking on all comers as it comes to him stacking up his credentials. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:20, you need a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. You need a perfect righteousness that so far extends beyond the most religious of the planet, and unless you have it, you're not going to heaven. It doesn't matter how much you've done. Paul is lining himself up here by an example. And if you stack up your achievements, and if you try to make yourself right with God, it only proves that you don't understand the righteousness of God. Yeah. Romans 10:3, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, listen, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Ignorant of how holy God is will lead you to try to earn favor with Him. God is holy, holy, holy. When someone is awakened to this righteousness of God, when they see it, like Paul was, what does it look like? Let me read you Romans 7. Paul says, it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it's to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet. That's the one that got him. He had every external T crossed and I dotted. But when it came to the heart, he was a coveter. He broke God's law on the inside. He says, but sin Romans 7 verse 8, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, it produced in me all kinds of covetousness. He couldn't get a hold of that sin in the heart. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. He says, I was once alive apart from the law. Listen, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The law killed him. The very commandment that promised life that he thought was earning his faith, his way to God, proved to be death to him. It slew him, it killed him, because sin seized an opportunity through the commandment and it deceived him, and through it, it killed him. He came alive to his true condition before God. He understood now that God judges the heart. He understood now that all of the things he had done was not done for the right reason, with the right motivation. None of it was earning him anything. He says in verse number 7, the abandonment of human achievement. First the apex, now the abandonment. Whatever gain I had, I counted for loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever gain I had, all those things put together, all of his cherished treasures added together, they were transferred to the loss column. How in the world did that happen? How can someone who is so deceived see that? Notice the verse, for the sake of Christ. He got a glimpse of Jesus. That's how it happened. The law came alive. Christ was revealed to him, and he was one who sold everything to buy the pearl, you might say. And Jim Elliot said, he is no fool to give up that which he can't keep to gain that which he can never lose. And that's what he saw in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count all of my good works as rubbish, as manure, as worthless. Not only the gain that he thought he had, but everything he counted as lost, all of it put together. How could someone so steeped in self-deception with a list of unmatched credentials, how could that person that was so precious to him, how could they count everything as loss? How can this person be willing to give up all? How can this person even count all of these treasures as garbage? It's very easy. Get a glimpse of someone infinitely more valuable than all of those things. And that is Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The surpassing worth, or the incomparable value of Jesus. I saw Jesus for who he really was, and for his sake, knowing him. It begins with intellectual knowledge about Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. Intimate, personal, relational experience with his Lord, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me, and they follow me. He came to know Jesus. Salvation is not by ritual. Salvation is not by being born in the right nationality, even one chosen by God. Family status has nothing to do with salvation. Strict adherence to orthodox practices, they will not save you. Salvation is not acquired by being a religious leader who is impeccable on an outward examination. The most sincere desire with a passionate persistence will never achieve what God requires. Never. All of these things a person would count on must be abandoned so that they can lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith alone. Amen. Notice next, the deliverance of divine accomplishment. The deliverance. Look at how it works. In order that I may gain Christ. A transfer of allegiance happened with Paul. A change of desire. A trust moved from himself to Jesus. A transfer of ownership. Verse 9, and be found in him. He gave up all to be found in him. This is the spiritual union of eternal fellowship with Jesus. This is what he inherited by abandoning all and putting his faith in Christ. Notice next in verse 9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Not having a self-gained righteousness that really Isaiah says is just a pile of filthy rags. Not having that. Because Jesus said you have to be perfect. Matthew 5:48. You must be perfect. Not having that that comes through the law. But what kind? Notice the next phrase. But that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. There's only two religions. Righteousness through faith, or you forfeit righteousness by works. One of the two. Which one are you? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and received the righteousness that comes? It's an alien righteousness. It's separate from you. And it comes to you through faith. It depends on faith. Because if it depended upon work, it wouldn't really be righteousness. What can you add to perfection? Nothing. That's why it must be received through faith. It depends on faith. It hangs on faith. And it's credited to those who abandon self-righteousness and human achievement and they lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith. You get the righteousness of God. And then the denouncement of divine accomplishment, the denouement, or the result. What's the result of having this righteousness? Verse 10 and 11, that I may know Him. Paul's pursuit in his life was just to know a little bit more about Jesus. I just want to know Him. Do you find yourself that way today? Do you claim to be saved? What is your heart towards Jesus? Is it that I may know Him? I just want to know Him. I just want to study Him. I'm fascinated by Him. He holds my affections and I'm pursuing Him forever. Is this you? Is it a lifelong pursuit of Jesus for you? This is the Christian life. Psalm 63:8, my soul follows hard after you and the power of His resurrection, that I may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Jesus says, because I live, you also will live. We have a hope, we have a righteousness, we have a Savior. And Paul's pursuit was this Savior, and it became a lifelong pursuit to know Him. Is this you? If it's not you, you need to question your position. What are you hanging on to? What are you clinging to? If it's not Christ, then it's going to be eternally destructive for you. Jesus Christ died. Amen?
Amen.
He provided His righteousness and He grants it through faith. Paul came to realize this. There's only two religions in the world. Human achievement or divine accomplishment. Either you substitute yourself for God or God substitutes Himself for you. Which one is it? I pray it's in Christ today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this truth and thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for what Paul tells us here in this book. Thank You for this section, Lord, that righteousness that we need is supplied by You and it's given by grace apart from anything we have to contribute because we couldn't contribute anything, Lord. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We confess. We trust in Christ. May He powerfully work within us, Lord, that which is pleasing to You. May we pursue Him, Lord. I pray if there's one that doesn't know what I'm talking about, if they're not pursuing Jesus Christ, just to know Him, Lord, I pray that You would change their heart and that You would draw them to Yourself and show them, Lord, what they're missing. Show them the treasure that's in Christ and Him alone. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.